We'll let you take it again, no problem, because the objective here is to learn and to study, and I don't know about y'all, but lately, my plate has been full, and table's just been covered up, and I'm just doing my best, just trying to catch up with what we're doing. But John chapter 17 is, we're going to look at one here about the Father, before we get to the test on the Godhead. We were looking at the Father's nature under Roman numeral number 1, and A, he's a person. And that the Father's a person is indicated in that he possesses features of personhood. And you say, well, what are you talking about? Well, many folks, as they try to define God in this what's called pantheistic society, pagan, we would say, they refer to him as the mystic energy, the life force of the universe. Some go as far as to say he is the universe. He's Mother Earth, and all these other pagan ideas that people have. And of course, none of that's true. He is the Father. He's God the Father. And looking here at John 17, Jesus is praying, and he says, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world." And verse 11, "And now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." Right now, as he speaks those words, he's speaking of his relationship to God. God is his Father. He is the only begotten Son. What we've seen there is speaking of his personal characteristics. As God the Father, he has intelligence. And again, I'll admit that is an understatement. When we speak of God as the Father, he has omniscience. And of course, he has intelligence. We have references we looked up there. He shows emotion. He gives communication. And then he functions as a person. Number 2, under the fact that he is a person. He functions as a person in that he speaks. And then he sees. He gives. He works. He blesses. And he keeps. And that's where we left off there in John 17:11. He keeps. And Jesus is praying there. And it's the Lord's Prayer, John 17. That's what's going on. It's the high priestly prayer of Christ. Whereas before the disciples have asked him, teach us how to pray, he gives them a pattern. And, you know, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And so people refer to that as the Lord's Prayer. But the Lord's teaching on prayer there, and he's not even praying. But when he is in John 17, this is him praying. And there's one reference to God the Father as the Holy Father in all the Bible. And that's it, John 17:11. He refers to God the Father as the Holy Father, and Jesus is praying, "Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." Now, he's requesting us to be kept by the Father, and speaking of that, look at John chapter 20. John chapter 20. As the Father keeps us, he keeps us for the purpose of sending us, John chapter 20, verse 21. "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And today, if that was all you were to take home with you from the Bible Institute, that was worth getting, right?
Amen.
Just to know that as God the Father sent the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, Jesus Christ has sent you into the world. And the Bible tells us in John 3:17, it says that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he said, as the Father had sent me, even so send I you. And so we're sent not to condemn the world. The world's already condemned. We're sent that the world through him might be saved. And so we stand as ambassadors for Christ, and we're telling people that, hey, here's the way, here's the door, here's the truth, here's eternal life. It's in him, it's Jesus Christ. And that's what God the Father has sent us to do. Look at Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Luke 24, 49. And Luke is the one who writes the book of Acts. And Here in Luke 24, we have reference to something that takes place in Acts chapter 1. Luke chapter 24, look at verse 49. God the Father promises, Luke 24, 49. Jesus said, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." And so, God, who has given us the commission to go into all the world, to go into all the nations, to preach the gospel to every creature, He has also given us the power to do so. And the power to be a witness for Jesus Christ unto the uttermost part of the earth is in the Holy Ghost. That is the promise of the Father. And we receive that from the Father. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, where we were last week there was back in John 14, and Jesus said this, as He was talking to those disciples, He said, "I'll pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth not, neither know Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." So Jesus was telling His disciples, there's another Comforter coming, and He's coming from the Father. There was the promise of the Father. We just saw Luke chapter 24. He's referring to that promise, the Spirit of truth, which is going to endue you with power from on high. And that doesn't mean that you're going to have the intellect to win every argument. That doesn't mean you're going to be able to articulate every argument, be able to outwit everybody. You don't have to. You don't have to. There is something going on that you can't see whenever you start talking about Jesus Christ to this world. I was telling them, you know, some of you might have heard, I got the opportunity to win a whole family to Christ the other day in the waiting room there at the hospital. And just one of those things, it just doesn't happen every day. But I wasn't even fishing. I was reading my Bible in the waiting room, and they started asking questions. And we started having fellowship. That's what I thought. And then they started expressing to me they doubted their salvation, and I'm trying to help them with that. I'm trying to say, "Well, you don't have to doubt your salvation." Well, they're not even saved. So I wasn't even smart enough to recognize which way the conversation was going. And just accidentally wandered into that thing, the Lord working things out and putting us in the right place at the right time, directing the conversation the right way. I mean, I'm just trying to fellowship with them, gave them a testimony and told about the day I got saved. And then he said, "Well, we've been talking a while." He said, "Well, I hope I'm saved." And I was sure, you know, and I started showing him the Bible. There's no need to doubt that. I showed him, you know, how simple it is to be saved as far as, you know, the power of the gospel. That's the power of God unto salvation. And I'm showing him about the death, burial, and resurrection, how God has provided for us. And then I begin to say, you know, there has to be that time in your life when you pass from death into life, when you were born again. And he turns around, looks at his wife, and his wife says, "Well, I ain't never been saved. I guess neither one of us been saved." He turned around and looks at me. So from there, you know, well, and then her sister, who's sitting there, their dad in the hospital, her sister raises up and says, "I've always wanted to be saved. I just didn't know how. So many people say so many different things." And then before you know it, I thought, "Let me show you something." And the whole thing, before I got through, five people, amen, right there trusted Christ in the break room. Everybody got quiet in the whole break room. I mean, in the waiting room. And even turned the TV down. I was talking to them. So there were just a lot of things that the Lord was doing. And my point being, I didn't go in there fishing. I mean, I believe in going fishing. Don't get me wrong. But I didn't even go for the purpose of fishing. By the time I had them on the line in the net, I didn't even know they were trying to get in. I was trying to give them comfort about being saved. They weren't even saved. I mean, it was way past me. And the Lord was at work. And the point being that when you open your mouth for the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're living for Him, and your purpose is to just be a witness for Him, you're going to end up in the right place at the right time. And you know, I'm not a Calvinist. Man, you know I'm not a Calvinist. Yeah. But at the same time, that doesn't nullify the fact that the Spirit of God gets involved in our lives. Yeah. empowers us and arranges things to where he's been working over here, and there's situations that have softened this person's heart. And you get there and you're in the right place at the right time, and they're in the right place at the right time, and the right conversation gets struck up at the right time. You know, that's not God overcoming anybody's will. That's the Lord simply arranging things to where somebody who is looking for life gets it. And so if we'll be faithful to give the gospel and testify of Jesus Christ, there's all kinds of things that are going to work there, and the Spirit of God himself will give witness to that. Now, Jesus said we're going to receive another comforter. And a comforter isn't just somebody that will just snuggle up to you and say, "Aw, you're going to be okay." A comforter is in the sense of a challenge, of somebody that will stir you up to comfort you. It's to equate you're waiting and someone blows the trumpet and says, "Charge." Mm-hmm. It's not just somebody that will say, "Lay here a little while." It's somebody that will say, "Get to your feet and let's fight. Let's do this thing. And he said, "You got another comforter coming." And then he said there, the promise of the Father was to wait to be endued with power from on high. And then they were, and we are. And he says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." All right, so the Father sends, and the Father promises, and the Father gives, and here the Father comforts. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And sometimes your heart is broken. Sometimes you are discouraged. And the Lord does sit down next to you, it seems, and just, you know, kind of love on you and get you picked back up. But it's not just to just keep you on the couch. You know, some folks, that's what they want. I know, as a pastor, a lot of people call me, they just want me to pedal. They just want me to be a shoulder. They would stay there on that shoulder all my days, just trying to get, you know, petted and encouraged. That's what they think. But to encourage means to fill with courage.
Yeah.
You know, at some point, get off the couch.
Amen.
Stand up and fight. Do what you got, what you're here to do. Don't just sit around feeling sorry for yourself and being discouraged. Be a man. Be a woman for Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Now here in 1 Thessalonians 3:11. 1 Thessalonians 3:11. "Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you." So the Father there directs us. He directs us. Again, that's just getting in the right place at the right time, and by being submissive there. This matter of warfare, there's a principle there that involves, you know, being able to think ahead of your enemies and get there. And we're not smart enough to do that. We're not smart enough to flank the enemy in this spiritual matter. He's smarter than us. He's been dealing with man for 6,000 years. You and I aren't going to pose any kind of confusion to him. So what we can do is we can just lean on the one who is smarter and yield to him, and he'll work things out where we end up in the right place at the right time. Look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. Every child of God needs direction at times. It's good to know God the Father directs us, and then he calls us. Here in 1 Corinthians 1:9, "God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." So that is a reference to God the Father. All right, now, those things there, you can look. He has personal characteristics. He functions as a person. You can see there. He disciplines. Hebrews 12:6-10. He prunes. John 15:1-2. He bears witness. John 5:37. He saves. He forgives. He seeks. He wills. He hides and reveals. Those are things that we will pick up there as we continue in this study here. I just wanted to touch down on it just a little bit this morning, and because as we get to the matter of God's relationships, as it pertains to the Son, and as it pertains to Israel, and it pertains to us, then, of course, all that is very significant, and we'll deal more with those truths when we get to them. But right now, let's go ahead and get ready to take this test.